We're going to look at the book of 1 John again, and what I want to do today is look at the places in the book of 1 John where John writes and says, now if we say, and then he talks about what they're saying, because it's a lot easier to talk about something than it is to do it. So 1 John chapter 1, but let's talk about talk. Talk is cheap, you've heard that. I heard someone say of someone one time, they talk a lot and say little. I've heard some sermons like that too. The Kabbalah, the Sefer Zohar, the book of the Zohar says, what is the sign of a fool? They talk too much. The mouth is a door that should be kept shut. Interesting. Rabbis say, if you have nothing to say, say nothing. That's not a bad idea. Those who talk a lot usually talk about themselves. That's true. Milton Berle said he had a friend the other day that opened his mouth and a foot fell out. Yeah. Now, if someone can talk out of both sides of their mouth, can they give themselves mouth-to-mouth resuscitation? Interesting. All right. So, well, let's look at this. If we say, because people say a lot. So look at chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sins. Then look at chapter 2, verse 6 about the Christian walk. Chapter 2, verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. The first thing that people talk about is walking with God. It's easy to do the Christian talk without doing the Christian walk. One-third of everybody in the world is supposed to be a Christian. And I guess they operate on a different definition of Christian than we do, because we believe someone has to make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, that they have to admit that they're a sinner, that they have to put their faith in Jesus as their Savior, asking to forgive their sins and save their soul, and then they are born again. But a lot of people are on the roll that haven't done that. Paul talks about that in Ephesians 5:8. He says, for you were sometimes in darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. And then he asks the question, 2 Corinthians 6, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Now, you have to understand who wrote this letter. John was not a sissy. John was one of those big Galilean fishermen. He was rowdy, he was a brawler, he worked hard with his hands. In fact, James and John were called the sons of Boanerges, and Boanerges is the word for thunder. Most scholars take that to mean they cussed a lot, okay? You understand the biblical term cussed a lot, okay? Yeah, he was a tough guy, and he said, yeah, if you're going to talk the talk, you have to walk the walk. If we say, then we've got to do it. One of my heroes growing up was Peter Cartwright. Peter Cartwright was a Presbyterian evangelist in the 1700s. He would preach in barns, as the biggest building around in the country. So he'd hold a preaching meeting in the barn. And one night, he was preaching in the barn, and two rowdy young men decided they were going to break up the worship service. So they came in and they started hooting and hollering and they started bothering everybody, and Peter Cartwright came down from the pulpit and beat them up and threw them out of the barn. Then he went back up there and started preaching again. That's right, you know. God did not make Christians without backbones. You know, you have to have certain bones to be an adequate adult. You have to have wishbone. You have to have a funny bone, and you have to have a backbone. And John had that. So John's talking about walking the walk. J.B. Phillips wrote a book in the 1950s called Your God is Too Small. And in that he said, the person who professes to be living in God must bear the stamp of Jesus Christ. You have to show it. God is light. God is life. That's the walk we walk. God is light. The Bible says in Psalm 36:9, for with him is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Since God is light, when you're walking with God, you're walking in the light. And God is life. Remember John chapter 1, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. Yeah, there's a story about a great forest, and there were towns in the forest, and a man wanted to send a letter to a friend in the next town. So he said, son, will you take this message? And he said, well, I don't know the way. He says, well, you see that path that goes to that oak tree? He said, yeah. He said, well, go to the oak tree and look for the path, and it'll go on. And then when you go on a little ways, look for the path, and it'll go on. And when you go on a little ways, look for the path, and it'll go on. And eventually you'll get to the next town. And he did. And that's the way we live the Christian life. We don't see all the way from one place to the other. Did you imagine 5 years ago that you would be here this morning? I don't know that you saw that far ahead. How many of you are planning for 5 years from now? I hope you are, and I hope you make it too. I told Bill Allison this morning, Milton Berle said, I'm so old I never buy green bananas. But yeah, where do you want to be 5 years from now? Where do you want God to be blessing you 5 years from now? And are you looking forward to it? Absolutely. We walk the walk. We sing a hymn called, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. So there's walking, then there's sinning. Okay, let's talk about sin. That's always a fun subject. Look at chapter 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, there's if we say, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You know, a lot of times we put on our best face for other people and we put on our best face for ourselves, but you realize God only saves sinners. Christianity is only for sinners. God only saves sinners. Matthew Henry said, Christianity is a religion of sinners. The Christian life is a life of continual repentance, of continual faith in, and thankfulness for, and love to Jesus Christ. He deals with sinners. Now, people try to make excuses. Well, that wasn't really a sin. That was just a mistake. I used to know some Nazarene people. Actually, the Gideons in my county were called Nazabaptists. They either belong to the Nazarene church, they belong to the Baptist church. They're the only people that were Gideons. But I was asking one of those Nazarene guys, I said, you believe if you sin, you'll lose your salvation? They said, oh, yeah. I said, well, if you tell a lie, will you lose your salvation? Oh, no, that's not a sin. That's just a mistake. Yeah, they have different definitions, okay? So, if now he's a tire salesman and he didn't lie, he was an honest guy, but if he told a lie, he wouldn't go to hell, all right? So thank God he wasn't a used car salesman. All right. Oh, I haven't really sinned. I've just made a mistake. Yeah. I'm not responsible. It's someone else's fault. Oh, you don't know how I was raised. You don't know how somebody treated me. Oh, it was my environment. It's society's fault. The devil made me do it, you know? Where does self-control and discipline come into any of this? Oh, I have a problem. Give me a pill. Well, I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of things that will outdo any pill the doctor can give you, you know? I'm diabetic. I'm not supposed to eat sugar and sweet things or starchy things, and I can out-eat any pill the doctor can give me. I guarantee you. So, yeah, it's not my fault. It's just the environment. It's not my fault. My parents were addicts, so I'm an addict. Well, what happened to the choice not to be an addict? And no one's responsible anymore. But if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. That's what the Bible says. The blame game. I heard Chuck Swindoll say something this week. It's a disgrace not to live in God's grace. It's a disgrace not to live in God's grace. Yes, it is. The Apostle Paul, Galatians 1:13. Paul had an honest view of himself. He said, "For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." Yeah. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. John Bunyan, the great Baptist preacher who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, he spent 13 years in a Bedford jail because he was a Baptist. John Bunyan would look out the jail cell window, and he would pull himself on the bars of the window. He'd pull himself up and preach to the people walking by. And the soldiers got tired of it, so they would whack at him with their swords. And he had slash scars all over his arms and his hands from pulling himself up by the bars to preach to the people as they walked by. He spent 13 years in prison, and he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. But he wrote a book about his own life. It's called Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners, what God did for him to save his soul. Yeah, God does that. What did King David say? Psalm 51, after his sin with Bathsheba, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this in thy sight." Even mature Christians that don't walk in darkness sin. We have evil tendencies. We sin. Bill Allison is a geologist. He's a geological engineer. A fault in the rock. What happens to a fault in the rock? It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. What happens to a fault in our life? It gets bigger and bigger and bigger if we don't turn it over to God. Mary Baker Eddy, that founded the Church of Christ, a scientist, she wrote a book called Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. And the Christian Science Church teaches there's no such thing as sin. It's all in your head. There's also no such thing as pain. There's no such thing as sickness. And there's no such thing as death. It's all in your head. Of course, in 1909, she thought she was dead, okay? But if there is no such thing as sin, then Jesus didn't die on the cross. It made Jesus a liar. It denied his word, and Jesus died in vain. There was a hiker up in the Smoky Mountains, and eagles are still endangered. There are a lot of eagles now, but they're still endangered. He's watching this eagle. This eagle was flying across the sky, and he was going higher and higher, and he's talking about what a magnificent bird that was, how beautiful it was to watch this eagle fly. All of a sudden, the eagle started slumping, and the eagle started falling out of the sky, and the eagle landed on the ground near him, and he went over and looked at it. The eagle had picked up a little weasel, had him in his talons, but the weasel reached up with his claws and clawed the eagle, and the eagle bled to death while he was flying. And as he bled to death and the blood ran out of his body, he couldn't fly anymore. He fell. And that's what sin does to us. It drains us of our strength. We fall when we sin. There are three ways to deal with sin. We can cover it up. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We can confess it. Look at 1 John 1, 9. "We confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, people often ask, "Well, what if I forget one?" Well, doesn't it say there, if we confess our sins, and I take that to mean the ones we do know, we do remember, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Doesn't that verse mean that if we can confess what we do know, God will take care of what we don't remember. God will take care of the sins we don't confess if we confess the ones we sincerely remember. I think that's what that verse means. That's the way we deal with sin. Now look at chapter 2, verse 4. We looked at walking. We've looked at sinning. Let's look at knowing. Do you know God? Chapter 2, verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Wow, knowing God. Henry Blackaby has a whole series about that on prayer and knowing God and knowing God's will and how to walk in fellowship with God. Vance Havner said one time, some things are for us to know, and some things are not for us to know. Blessed is the man who learns early which is which. Most of our unhappiness is caused by not knowing what we should know and by trying to know what we are not to know. That's right. Remember someone calling Dr. Gray on the phone. He was pastor of First Baptist New Orleans, Dr. J.D. Gray. He said, Dr. Gray, I don't understand Revelation. He said, neither do I. Get back in Matthew. That's right. You know, it's not worrying about what we don't understand. It's worrying about what we do understand and don't do. Do what you know. Now, the word know here is yada. Adam knew Eve. That's what that word really means. Intimate, communion, to know God. But what does the Bible promise? Daniel 11:32. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. One of the great books, two great books in the Middle Ages. One was by Thomas A. Kempis. It's called The Imitation of Christ. How to Live Like a Little Jesus. The Imitation of Christ. Next to the Bible, that was the best-selling book of the Middle Ages. Thomas A. Kempis. The second book was Practicing the Presence of God. Little bitty book by an unknown monk called Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence wasn't a famous preacher. He wasn't a famous missionary. He wasn't a famous anything. Brother Lawrence scrubbed pots in the monastery kitchen. He was a dishwasher in a monastery. But the whole time he was washing the pots, he was talking to God and communing with God in fellowship with the Father. And he wrote this little book that's a classic today, Practicing the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. Knowing God, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him in the fellowship of his sufferings and in the power of his resurrection, that we may know God. That's what Paul prayed for us. Now, what does it mean to know God? Well, I think it means at least three things. If we know God, we want what God wants. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want what God wants. We see things the way God sees them. The judge Samuel went out to anoint David as king of Israel. And he looked at the brothers first, and God said, no, not that one, no, not that one, no, not that one. And Samuel said, well, what's the problem here, God? 1 Samuel 16:7, God said, man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. We see the way God sees. And then we love like God loves. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We want what God wants, we see what God sees, we love what God loves. And that leads right into the fourth thing today, the last thing, chapter 2, verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10, which is loving. Walking, sinning, knowing, and loving. If we say, look at chapter 2, verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Look at verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. We are born in darkness. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are born as sinners. Ephesians 4:18 says, having our understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in us, because of the blindedness of our hearts, being past feeling, not giving ourselves over to lasciviousness. Yeah, we're born in darkness. I think we naturally hate and resent people. Condemned for rejecting the light. Yeah. He that believeth on him hath everlasting life. John 3:19. He that believeth not is condemned already, for he hath not believed in the only begotten Son of God. Lehman Strauss said one time, it's easy to love God, but not to love people whose flaws and faults we see. 1 John 4:21, just one or two chapters over. This commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. There's a little poem. To live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with saints we know, oh, that's another story. But when you have a church family, we know our strong points and our faults, and we love each other just the same. Robert Browning said, there is no wasted good. We are to love and we are to do good. In Berkshire, England, a man with a large family had an accident, broke his leg. He couldn't work. And when you don't work, you don't get paid. And so one of the deacons of the church was going around doing a collection and asking people to pray. It was their version of a prayer chain. And so they went to this farmer. He was out in the field harvesting his apples. And they said, Brother Tom, you need to pray for this family. This family, the father broke his leg, and he's got 9 kids. And they're not going to have anything to eat. We need to pray about that. He said, look, I don't have time to pray. I'm harvesting my apples. I'm putting them in barrels. I have to get them to market before the end of the day. I'm too busy to pray. You go to my house and go down in the basement. You get a corned beef, and you get a ham, and you get a bushel of potatoes, and you get some butter out of the spring house, and you take them to him because I'm too busy to pray. Yeah, sometimes God wants us to put feet on our prayers and do something besides pray. Lady ran a rescue mission, and this church got a big box of food and gifts and took it to her, and she told the person that delivered it, said, I really, really appreciate this, but listen, you be sure to tell them that we also need people here more than things. We need people here more than things here. It's called putting your feet on your prayers. We show our love by how we treat each other. Robert Browning said, there is no wasted good. What does that mean? That means we leave the world a better place. That means we leave the church a better place. That means we leave God's kingdom a better place. If we say, and 1 John talks about walking, talks about sinning, talks about knowing God, and talks about loving each other. Yeah, we talk the talk, and we walk the walk. That's what 1 John is all about. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you need to do so. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And if you need to do that this morning, we're going to sing an invitation hymn, number 321. Number 321, Jesus, the Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Number 321, what a great song. What a great message.